This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 5 o'clock, second hour already. All right, let's head down to Port O'Connor and check in with Captain Lynn Smith this morning. Hey, Lynn, what's going on, bud?
Oh, man, doesn't get much better than this. You know, duck season in the air.
I know.
You know, you see it, seeing some teal buzzing.
Yeah, I saw some.
It's happening.
Saw some really good teal hunts yesterday, and some just kind of not so good teal hunts, half limit.
Oh, really?
Deal, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All the best teal hunts I saw were, you know, from the mid coast up. You know, towards
really?
Garwood and all that. Oh, yeah, down your way.
Oh, yeah, yeah. A buddy of mine, he hunts Garwood, and he called, and they whacked them pretty good yesterday.
Yeah.
They did good. And, boy, he was pumped
Bink
up.
Bink was doing good live from the blind yesterday morning. I don't know, he had 12 or 15, you know, in that 12 minutes I talked to him. They weren't getting any big flocks in, but it was onesies and twosies, just one right after another. Made for good,
oh, really?
Good shooting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that buddy of mine said they were going to – he was going to hunt 3 days in a row. He was going to get his fill of them. I said,
sure.
I said, well, good. I said, now, he's going to head back to Port O'Connor, I think, you know, midweek. I said, now, I'm looking forward to some of that marinated teal, you know.
Man, how about some teal roll-ups, man? Oh, I love
them. Oh, my goodness.
Put them on my egg, bacon wrapped with jalapeno and Philadelphia cream cheese in them. And watch some football. All good, brother.
Well, he's got some recipe. He marinates those teal breasts, boy.
He cuts
them up. Oh, he marinates them, and then he brings them down here, and he lets Josie's cook them.
Oh, cool.
And we go over to Josie's, and they cook those teal breasts. Oh, my goodness. It'll make you slap your mama.
Fry them? How do they cook them?
Yeah, they fry them up.
Yeah, fried teal's pretty good, man.
Oh, man.
Marinate them good, get them real tender. And beat them down. Look like little backstrap steaks.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Amen,
it's
brother.
Hard to beat.
Hey, some good gravy, rice, or mashed potatoes, whatever you like with it. Hey, let's roll.
Oh, man, you're making me hungry. I hadn't had any breakfast yet.
I hadn't either, but I can see some in my future this morning.
Boy, isn't that something? Mm. Yeah, teal's hard to beat. You know, I remember looking in the dictionary.
I love teal. They're good eating.
Well, I remember looking in a dictionary one time, and they the definition of teal, it said best eating of all ducks.
Yeah,
that was the definition of teal.
Right,
and very true. Oh boy, my mother used to love for me to bring teal home. Yeah, boy, she loved that. And you know, living in Port Arthur, we used to hunt up a Big Hill Bayou. And out of Port Arthur there, and we used to shoot a lot of cinnamon teal.
Big Hill, that's a strategic fuel site for the government.
Oh yeah, but we used to get a lot of cinnamon teal up there.
Uh huh.
Years ago, I remember that well.
You know, I've killed a couple up here in my area, but the most I ever killed, you know, we'd kill one a day, seemed like, was down in your backyard down there, especially down by the, by, you know, that Keller Bay area and, you know, where the Guadalupe River it comes in down there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, they like that fresh water. You know, they like the fresh water rivers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, we growing up, I didn't think anything of it. You know, we used to kill the cinnamons. But I haven't seen one of those
pretty
in a
bird.
Long time. Boy, they are.
Make pretty mounts.
They sure do. Yeah, they really do. But I saw some teal yesterday. Of course, you know, we really start to see them here when the season opens and they start popping them on the prairie.
Yeah, they'll come to the coast.
That's right. Yeah, they do. And we start to see them. They're just buzzing. They're going south, working their way south, coming off the prairie.
Yep.
But,
them teal, they do everything fast.
Oh, boy, I'm telling you.
Last ones to leave and the first ones to get back.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I remember one year we'd had a bunch of rain, and I left my house. I was going to the store or something. I turned the corner, and there was some water standing in a lot right pretty close to my house. And I just happened to look over, and there was about a half dozen teal sitting in it.
Yeah,
right by my house.
Gabbling around, man.
Oh, yeah. I remember somebody saying, well, you know, teal do real good as far as nesting and all that, because teal will sit in a ditch, you know, not like a mallard or pintails. Mm. You know, they don't mind, you know, people around or whatever. They'll nest in a ditch, you know. They can survive. They really can. But they do pretty good up north. They really do when they're nesting up in Canada.
Yeah,
they do well up there.
Reason for the short season this year, the blue wings didn't do so well this year.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's why they shortened the season.
Got them back, huh?
But you can still have six.
Well, that's good.
You still kill six birds, so that's...
If you can hit them.
If you can hit them, yeah, that's it. Let them decoy.
Oh, they don't give you much effort, much time, I'll tell you. That's a fast little bird.
Well, you get your tune up in dove season, you know, get a couple of weeks.
Yes, it.
Dove tune up and make shooting teal over decoy so much easier.
Oh, yeah.
Bigger target and flaps down, feet down, hey, cut them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to love teal season. Fine shooting a little bird.
But I heard it was hot yesterday. A lot of guys, you know, that hunted, one of my buddies hunted east of town over there. He hunted out there with Campbell and them at Oyster Bayou, and he said it was hot in those pit blinds. There wasn't a breath of wind, and they were baking. he said everybody was sweating.
Boy, howdy. But one of the lodges here called me and asked me if I'd take an afternoon trip because one of his guys had to back out, and so I said, yeah, and I know I have done an afternoon trip, and I can't tell you when,
right?
And so I did, and it was hot, and then the wind picked up. You know, it blew hard yesterday afternoon.
It did. It picked up. It sure did.
It
started off calm, and here it come again. It's been doing that a lot lately over here.
Man. I tell you what, it's been nice. You know, we've had a good high tide and been able to get back in these lakes and such as that, chase redfish. It's been good. And I even saw a pretty good-sized shark back in one of the lakes this week.
Oh, boy. Here we go, Tax Man.
Oh, man, yeah.
I want to be nice when the water gets cold. Now I'll get out of here, all the junk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had one of my customers, we were back in one of the lakes, and I said, hey, check this out. Boy, you can see the big wake coming, you know. He went, oh, my God, what's that? I said, that's a shark. He said, you're kidding me. I said, no, check him out. And so he walked up on the bow and stood up there and watched, and that shark came within probably 30 yards of the boat, you know. He's just cruising down the shoreline. He's about a 5-footer, you know, but 5 or 6-footer. But he just cruised along, dorsal fin sticking out of the water. I said, he's just cruising. He's just looking. I couldn't tell what he was. Probably a black tip, but he's cruising down the shoreline. But somebody told me they hooked a bull shark in Pringle Lake this week.
I can believe that.
Yeah, I can believe it too, because I've seen them in there. I was in there one year, last year, year before last, and we had We were fishing there, and we're fishing out of the boat. We were drifting, throwing topwaters, and we saw a pretty good sized bull shark in there. You know, we were catching trout, and so was he. You know, yeah. he was after him too.
That's why he was there.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Oh my goodness! Yeah, he was a pretty good one. It's amazing. Amazing what you see in there. Well, we've seen some pretty good size alligators.
Yeah, today's what, the 21st, so we start our autumn or fall equinox tides starting up now. So we think they're kind of high now. Wait till we get into this.
Oh man.
You know, the sun and the moon, everything aligns, you know, with the equator or whatever. I'm not an expert on this, but you'll get those, what they call great tides, king tides. Bull, we just call them bull tides around here, man.
Oh, yeah. Well, I kind of like that, getting back in those lakes, being able to get in those lakes that we haven't been able to get into. Then those reds get, you know, right up along those shorelines where they like rooting around. Like, you're cleaning
like
those reds.
Feral hogs, man, just rooting around. What used to be dry land is, I guess there's a lot of little crabs and crustaceans, all that stuff up in there that they forage up on getting ready for winter.
Oh, man, you clean their stomachs. You cut one open and check his stomachs. They're full of little crabs, little shrimp.
Yeah.
And, it's amazing. They just root around.
Yeah, they'll be full of them little tiny grass shrimp, man. And
they are.
You know, when
they
catch them and you squeeze them a little bit, and they'll squirt out of their anuses. You know, it'll be kind of pink colored, you know, from eating the shrimp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Same way with trout.
Yeah, I had this one of the guys there at the bait camp. His wife makes ceviche, and she had told me, she said, bring me a redfish and I'll make ceviche. I said, oh, okay, you don't want trout? She said, no, I want redfish to make ceviche.
Yeah, a lot of people like redfish because it's a little coarser meat.
Exactly. And that's what she said. She said, well, I told her, boy, some of the best ceviche I've had was with trout. She said, no. No, she said, I like the redfish because it's more
flounder
coarser.
Too. Flounder makes good ceviche.
Yeah. So anyway, I brought her a redfish this week, and she was tickled to death. And so I was cleaning that redfish for her. She said, I want the throat too. I said, oh, I bet. I bet you do. And she said, I want the head too. I went, you do? And she said, yeah, I want the head too. I said, what are you going to do with the head? She said, I'm going to make soup with that.
Boil that down and make stock with it. That's nasty.
That's right. No, me either. But I gave her the head.
It's all good.
Yeah, that's right. I had a Vietnamese doctor from Victoria fish with me one time, and she didn't even want me to clean the fish other than just gut them, and I gilled them. And, I mean, she kept the heads on the fish and everything. She that's all she wanted me to do, gut them and gill them, you know.
Gut and gill.
That's it. But she kept the heads on.
Fish
she
heads.
She said, you know, that's it. They make soup out of them.
I'm good. I'll make up some gumbo or something. All right, let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back, man. Hang with me.
All righty.
Well, Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, you can look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to leave your bait or your tournament fish than with their oxygen response system. They have them on display there at the store. You can check them out firsthand. All their different size bottles, all their regulators, diffusers. They refill your bottles there at the store. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf shrimp. No farm-raised laying around at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught fresh Gulf shrimp. And great price, great availability, whether you're looking for the 9-12s or any other size counts you like for cooking. Boyd's has got it in their Cajun Grill next door. They put out really good quality food at great prices, and their Santa Fe location also. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning and welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it's 519 here in the Bayou City. I hear that song, I can't help but think of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Terminator 2, I believe it was, the beginning. Walked in that bar. All right, Lynn, we're back, buddy.
All right, man. Yeah, you're thinking way back there.
Yes.
Yeah, oh yeah. Anyway, yeah. Earlier
this
week,
a lot of good things in our lives were way back there.
weren't they?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they were. Yeah, way back there. But anyway, yeah, earlier this week, it was dead calm, man, in the morning.
Yeah.
And but we had a good high tide, and I didn't have a party, but I was going to scout an area, one of these lakes. And I ran back in there, and we had a good high tide, boy, the sun had come up a little bit, and man, the redfish were in there like crazy, and they were waking in front of me, boy, I shut down, and I was going to put the trolling motor down, and I was easing along in there, and I was throwing a topwater, and I couldn't get those redfish to eat anything for save my life.
Nothing.
I changed colors. Oh, that's frustrating, you know it?
It is.
That is. It's so frustrating, and they wouldn't even look at it, you know. And I changed colors, I did everything, and the problem was there was a lot of floating grass, because being so hot, and that grass, once that sun got up, that grass came to the surface. Mm-hmm. And you couldn't make but about you'd make a cast, and you'd start to walk the dog, and you walk it about 10 feet, and you're hung up.
Grassed up. There you go.
Just grassed up big time. So if you didn't get a blow up in about 10 feet, you're done. You know?
Right.
Oh, man, it's frustrating. And you'd see the redfish just waking all around you. Oh, my goodness. And they were good reds. You know, they were good,
yeah.
Solid. Oh, that's frustrating.
Yeah, it's aggravating.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm lucky I don't have to fight that all the time like you guys do.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I had a guide out of Matagorda call me one day, and he said, "Y'all got grass?" I said, "Yeah, we got grass." I said, "Y'all don't?" And he said, "No." He said, "You know, when the freeze came," and he said, "we lost a lot of grass."
Right.
Down here in Matagorda. I said, "No, we got grass in the lakes." Yeah. We lucked out. We did have the grass. From Port O'Connor south, we got grass.
Yeah, I know they got plenty of it. I mean, I saw a lot of grass in Baffin this year when I was down there.
Yeah.
In places you normally never saw it before. I mean, it's...
Really?
I was really surprised. A lot of grass. Yeah, it was awesome.
Man. Yeah, that is really good. And you
great
see
habitat for the fish, man. Really is.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. The bait can hide in it. Everything can hide.
Well,
crabs
and,
hide
you know,
it.
All the fry can grow up in it and not get ambushed and eaten up, you know, and have better spawns.
Right.
More productive spawns anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, that's what sold me on coming to Port O'Connor was the grass. When, you know, I was used to fishing in Sabine Lake,
yeah.
You know, growing up there. And, man, the first time I ever came down here to fish, I went, oh, my goodness, look at this.
Clear water.
I mean,
that grass filtering that water, and, oh, man.
Oh, I said, this is paradise, man.
Yeah,
This is unbelievable.
It is.
I said, man, oh, man. I couldn't believe it. It was so clear. I said, this is paradise. Yeah. I said, I'm coming down here to fish. I said, this is it. Boy, howdy.
Galveston and Sabine, you know, these areas up here, you know, our structure is live oyster shell and a range of clam beds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
yep.
We have bottom structure where you guys have pretty much all of it, plus oyster beds, too. I mean, y'all got a combination of both.
Oh, yeah. We got a lot of oyster.
I mean, is San Antonio Bay coming back any? I mean, you know, that's just a mecca for oyster shell. And
oh, we do have a lot of oyster. Yeah. And we do have a lot of that. No doubt about that. But, you know, there was one particular reef that I used to love to wade this one area and one shoreline. And there was a reef there, two little reefs. And I named them Duck Reef because I was wading that shoreline one day with Tommy Hardigree, and I were over there, and he and I were wading along, and there was an old mallard hen, old model duck hen, and she was swimming along there by that reef, and there was like three or four drakes chasing her. Oh, they were after her, boy, and they'd land right behind her, and she'd take off, boy, and she'd go quack, 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 and they were right behind her. And she'd circle around, and she'd come back, and she'd land. They'd land right behind her. And so we named it Duck Reef.
Duck Reef. There you go.
Yeah. I've got it on my GPS as Duck Reef. Well, there was a hole wallowed out right between those two oyster reefs, and I'd always catch a real good trout. Right in that hole, you know. Well, I was down there a while back, and I said, I'm gonna wait over there and catch a good trout between those two reefs. Do you know, those two oyster reefs are gone. Those oyster boats had wiped them out. Completely wiped them out. Took them out. And those reefs weren't very big.
Right.
They were pretty small. But they completely wiped them out.
Yeah,
it made me sick.
Well, they imposed they came up with a new law, you know, a year or two later after a lot of that was going on when they were depleting the deeper beds, they started coming to the shorelines and getting those good ones. We waited and saw that happening a lot up my way, but they stopped doing it and they're trying to come back. If we can just keep the salinity right for a few years, we'll do better. That's been our problem.
Yeah.
You know, we had that drought to start it all off with for those 3 years or whatever it was, and then here came those 10 years of floods. It's been a tough road, man.
Oh, I'm telling you. Well, there was a little oyster boat that sank on that shoreline, and I mean, it's completely gone now. It's completely gone down in the sand. You know, but not too far from that reef. But but it just made me sick, the fact that those two little oyster reefs are completely gone now. You know, gone down in the sand. Of course, you know, a couple of hurricanes helped that, you know, they wiped it out, covered it up. Sam right. did.
But they can also, you can pull another one and come through and it'll clean it all off.
Well, that's true too. Yeah.
You know,
that'll help.
You know, some canes, you know, will bring a lot of silt with them and do a lot of damage that way to your floor. But then you'll get another mm-hmm. one. It'll come in and just clean it all
clean
up.
Clean it out. Yeah, that's true. And, you know, since they opened up Cedar Bayou, that helps a lot, too.
Yeah, I guarantee you, man. You got to have those passes from the Gulf to the bays. I mean, you got to have
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. You better know it. And you have that flow coming through there. It makes a big difference on those shorelines and all that.
Yes, it does. That current matters.
It does. It really does. And with that,
well, not
that
only
being
is
open,
it good for migrating fish that come in and out, but it keeps the salinity at a perfect level in those areas where you don't get too much salinity. And if you do get fresh, it'll get rid of it too. So that was my biggest gripe about rollover, man.
Oh, yeah.
We're up here. We're paying to close them up, and you guys are paying to open them up down there. So.
Oh, man, I know. I can't believe they closed up rollover.
They did, buddy.
That just blows my mind. That just blows my mind.
Well, they're spending a ton of money on that new pier in the Gulf right there where the pass used to be. And
man.
Folks will get them a nice fishing pier, but we gave up more than... I mean, how much dredging could they have done in the intercoastal behind there for the amount of money that pier is costing? It just...
Isn't that something?
It is. It's... Not a big fan of that.
No. Oh, that's crazy. That's crazy. That really helped out East Bay.
Hey,
you know,
man, so it did. It kept it back in, cleaned out. And if you did get a real wet fall or winter or whatever, it helped work that water out of there into the Gulf. And not to mention the giant trout that swam out of the Gulf through that pass into the back of East Bay and would live there. Oh, man. Some of my best trout stringers and catches in my life came from back there behind that pass.
Oh, I can believe it.
I'll never forget it.
I can believe it.
I just wish all our new young guns coming up could experience that, and they'd know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, my mother and dad and I used to have a cabin right there at Gilchrist.
Gilchrist, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah, there were some memories there.
Oh, I'm telling you, brother. The fish passed at rollover.
Yep. I was there for the grand opening of Rollover Pass. And I was a kid. And my mother and dad and I went down
there.
There,
buddy.
Well, I was a kid, you know, but I mean.
I was still in diapers when they opened that up.
Yeah. But I wasn't much older, but I remember going down there with my mother and dad. And I was in the back seat.
Oh, it was a big deal, man.
Oh, it was a big deal.
It was a big deal to go to rollover. I mean, and that was a long ways to go from Houston or Baytown or whatever, you know. But
oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like a... I mean, it was a big event. Let's get in on a Croker run, Flounder run.
We went from Port Arthur. I mean,
yeah, that's,
we drove
that's
over
a hike
there
too, man.
Yeah, we went from Port Arthur. Well, we had the cabin over there, but we went over there to watch the grand opening. You know, I mean, there were people six people deep, casting over everybody.
I'm telling you,
with you know. Like three or four lines, you know.
Double
leaders.
Drop leaders. I mean, all kinds of nasty tackle. Everybody's chunking
all over
each other.
And catching, you know, bull croakers, you know.
Yeah, I mean, two at a time. I mean, 2-pound croakers, two at a time.
Absolutely. It was incredible.
Yeah, it was.
It was a happening, I guarantee you.
Yep.
And that water was pouring through that pass, man.
It would scream through there. Everybody's sitting around waiting on the tide to slack up, slow down. As soon as it slowed down, every rod in that whole place would just start bending.
It did. It was
some giant trout caught in there, man.
Oh, yeah. Both sides.
Yep, you could see them coming. You could tell which way they were moving from the Gulf or from the Bay. But they were moving. They're coming through there.
All
right, Lynn. I got a roll, my friend. If somebody wants to come down and hook up with you and fish Port O'Connor with you or do some deer hunting this winter, give them some info how they can reach you, buddy.
Yes, sir. They give me 361-935-6833.
All right, man. Well, Lynn, have a good Sunday. Good talking to you, brother.
Hey, you too, man. You
see
too.
You.
Have a good one.
We're going to do it later, man.
All right.
All right. Well, Bayou City Angler, Houston's fishing outfitter. Go by and check out their nice new store there. It's real easy to find. They have a wide variety of the industry's best gear by the most trusted brands. Wade fishing gear, fly fishing gear, fly tying components along with rods, reels, lines, lures. They've got it all. Great inventory of Waterloo rods, like in the Slam Mag and the HP Light that everybody likes. Shimano reels, Luz reels, Sims gear, Southerly, and Poncho, to name a few. Offshore tackle for the serious angler, they've got plenty of that. And be sure to go by and visit a very nice tackle store that's trusted by our community with great service. It's easy to find, 8933 Katy Freeway. That's right next to Carter's Country and Good Company Barbecue. Again, that's 8933 Katy Freeway. Here's our number, 832-831-3104. Bayou City Angler, Houston's fishing outfitter.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:37. All right, let's run up the Hill Country Way, Concan, Uvalde area. Let's check in with the Birdman, Chris Crocker. What's up, Crocker?
Oh, just getting ready to get out of here. Got another group in this morning.
Grinding them down, baby.
Yeah, I guess we had about 46 on Friday, and it was just a slobber knocker. I mean, everybody waylaid them. And then Saturday, we kind of did the same thing and had another 30 on top of them. And
right.
It wasn't such of a slobber knocker on Saturday. We had some guys that did good and some guys that did fair and some guys that just kind of watched the sun go down.
So, oh boy.
Yeah, that happens, you know.
I've had plenty of those kind of dove hunts.
Yeah. Yeah. You never know on these things. So we're gonna change up today and move back into town and find a little cow pasture and little feed lot that's got a little pond of water by it.
Right.
But it never fails. We always have a pretty sunrise and a pretty sunset, so they got that going for them some days.
And a clear river.
You know, it's a
clear
weather
cold
here.
River. Is the water real cool in that river?
It will get your attention.
Yeah, I bet it will.
For sure.
Wait till about November.
Well, you know, we had that one little tiny front right there at the very beginning of the season, and we haven't had anything since. You know, I don't know if anything's
coming
down
in Wednesday here, so it probably hits you about Tuesday.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt my feelings any right now.
No,
but the weather's been great. I mean, the mornings have been in the upper 60s or low 70s. The humidity's been around 36, 30.
Sweet.
you know, percent, you know, really pretty dry considering being down there on the coast. And so it's been really comfortable. The mornings have been really nice, almost a little cool running down the road in that mule. And then the afternoons, you know, we've had a anywhere from a 4 to 10 mile an hour wind out of the east, northeast, or east.
Yeah.
You know, dead east. And it's been, you know, in the shade, even in the sun, if you can get a little shade next to your vehicle, you know, some of these fields we got, they're literally pasture. So that you gotta sit out there and sunbake too as well. But
right.
But it's been, the weather's just been super great. You know, it's not been overly hot, even though it was, I think when we got out there yesterday, it was around 96, 97. But, you know, you find a little bit of shade, or get a little bit of shade off your vehicle and sitting in that, it's, you're not sweating.
No, so y'all got a lot less humidity up there than we do down here.
Yeah, the humidity difference is crazy.
It is. It helps a lot. Very nice.
But other than that, you know, and, you know, we usually have a teal season going. Didn't that start yesterday?
Yes, it did. It was guns a-blazing yesterday morning.
Yeah, we just haven't had any teal yet. We haven't, you know, normally we see them as soon as we get here. And we're on, what, the 18th, 20th, whatever today is?
We're the actually 21st. The 21st.
Yeah, the 21st, and I have not seen a single teal yet. We've seen some of those Egyptian geese, and, you know, of course, there are no tree ducks. Whistler ducks are pretty much everywhere around here. But not one teal sighting yet. And we've got a few ponds that are pretty nice, and they just haven't showed up.
Amazing.
I don't know how they did enter on the coast, but, you know, usually we have them here.
Well, it was kind of
every little spot of water.
It was a pretty good shoot from what I hear from, you know, the people I'm connected with. And
yeah.
And one group of guys I know, they had a half-limit hunt. Now, he said we could have stayed there and grinded out. They were burning up, man. There wasn't a breath of wind. They were in pit blinds. And I think they shot 24, and they said they could stay another hour or two and got their 48, but they decided to go have breakfast, get some AC.
Yeah, that's one of those mornings when the mosquitoes are winning the battle.
Oh, I'm sure they were. I didn't mention those, but I'm sure where he was at,
that's
covered in them.
Well, it's good. I mean, like I say, the weather's been great. You know, we just need to get the birds to cooperate a little more. We've got a few hunters this morning. I think we got around 20 this morning, and
yeah,
we're going to hunt a different place completely, and then we're going to let it rest all week and start back again on Friday. So, shoot, by then there should be something happening. You know, usually a little quiet time changes a lot of things up.
It does, and I hadn't heard from Blaine, and he's been busy, man. I hadn't really talked to him to see how they've been doing down there. I know one day they just slaughtered them, so...
Yeah, I mean, that's the way it's been here. It's been either really, really good or really, really not so good. You know, it's been either or. But fortunately, we're having a few more of the better days than the worst days.
Yeah.
But, well, you know, it happens.
That's always good. Yeah, that's teal.
Somebody, some joker up there put a migratory marker on the front of them, and that's what they do. You know, here one day, gone tomorrow. And for no apparent reason.
One little wind switch, and it doesn't even have to be but a 5 or 6 mile an hour wind, and they just all get up and move. They're gone.
Yeah, I wish somebody had that equation figured out, because I sure as heck don't.
Did Chavo get up there and hunt with you?
They're on the way this morning.
Oh, are
they're,
they?
Leaving the lake this morning. They'll probably be here around 2. So we'll get an afternoon in, and then we'll probably go find a pond on Monday and do a little pond
hunt.
Does
he even work anymore? That guy plays more than anybody I know. Every time I see him on social media, he's in a boat or he's doing something. I said, man.
Yeah, you know, he's burning at both ends.
Boy, he is, so, man. I mean, he is busy playing.
He takes care of us and our customers, you know, just like their family, and I'm sure he does it with everybody else. And then when it's time for him to go outside and do something, he's out doing it.
He gone.
Yeah.
He's out of here.
Yeah. And Ruby right behind him, you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, good guy, good guy. But, you know, other than that, you know, we're starting to think about deer season. We've got some really nice deer. We've got a pretty good herd of nail guy and the axis that we put in there 5 years ago. I think they figure there's somewhere around 120 of them. And got some nice red stag. They're looking on getting some Simbucks this week. They've been in talks with a guy buying a herd of those.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's old Junior, man. He's a wheeler dealer on that stuff. He's always looking and finding, you know, if it's just one or two animals or, a whole herd, you know, like if they can get a good deal on it, they've been slamming them in there. And his feed bill proves it.
Yeah. Better book some hunts just to pay for the food.
Yeah, I mean, they're feeding about 20, I want to say it's 20,000 pounds. So that's, 10 tons a month right now, just in supplemental stuff. That didn't count the alfalfa and the corn and all that stuff. You know, it takes a lot to feed a lot and they're doing it right. Everything that, you know, they've pretty much done it by the book.
You got to.
And they got a really, really nice place set up now. And I think he starts hunting here next weekend.
Where's his place at?
It's in Brackettville.
Brackettville? Okay.
Yeah, just north of Brackettville.
Uh-huh.
And they got really nice facility, you know, and they do all inclusive. They take care of all the meals and everything.
Right.
Real nice executive lines. Yeah, I mean, they did it right. You know, it's not one of these deer camp setups. It's a actual operating hunting, you know, situation where everything's pretty much all protocols done, you know, everything's set up. Nice blinds. They don't have just a feeder. They have a feed lot down there. They'll have corn feeders and protein feeders and water stations and then the corn, cotton seed stands. And, you know, they got it set up right. So they got a lot of nice, big, healthy animals. They supposedly sold their big breeder. One of the guys, saw pictures of it 2 years ago, and they're guessing he's just over 300 inches right now.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, that's what happens when you get these big high fence deer and you can pour the protein on them, and they just get to be monsters. And he does a lot of that. I hunt primarily low fence, and he's raising deer over there, so they got some pretty big monsters. And, you know, for years and years and years, everybody said, oh, we need to get rid of those eights, and we want nothing but tens, and we want them with stickers and all that. Now everybody wants a clean eight or a clean ten.
That's what I want is a clean 10, man. I mean, 8. I don't know why I said 10.
Yeah. They're hard to find.
You know, it hadn't happened for me yet. You know, and I got me a big 6 that I thought I'd never have. I didn't never even dream of shooting a deer that. That big slick 6.
That guy was a monster.
That was just crazy. Just came out of nowhere. I mean, it's like... Nobody'd seen that deer. Everybody heard like of a six like that.
That 10-point I shot up there in Concan, he'd never come on cameras before, and he was a straight 10 with the big eye guards. Yeah. And he had two little, like, 3/4 and 1¼ stickers on each side. So he was a 14, but he was a mainframe 10 with two kickers on each side. And, that's probably the most symmetrical deer I've ever shot. You know, I've shot a bunch of 8s that are, you know, 110, 125 inch, you know, just nice little old straight 8 Texas bucks, you know, nothing massive. That's probably 160 pound deer.
Natural Texas straight 8 whitetail, man. And about 140 to 160 inches.
People don't realize how big of a deer that is. A 150 inch 8-point is a giant deer.
That's a good one, man.
Yeah. But it'll happen. If you don't spend the time in the blind, it'll never
happen. It's not going to happen. You got to put your time in. I mean, it's it's just weird like how hunting goes, you know. It's just, I'll hunt 2, 3, 4 years, never pull the trigger on anything, and then all of a sudden, man, here comes a good one, just out of nowhere. You just got to be there when it happens.
Yep. You know, you just got to spend the time. It's like a boat like at the dock. Don't catch no fish.
That's it. Can't catch them on the dock.
Nope.
Yeah, I like hunting.
Tell some stories at the dock.
Yeah, you can too. Boy, that's probably the best part. Kind of like golf, the 19th hole, the watering hole.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's actually some guys that come up here to golf and dove hunt. How frustrating two things could be at the same time.
Boy, that's they love misery, don't they?
Man. Out there hacking on the ground and blasting holes in the sky.
Where's there a good golf course around there?
There's right here in Concan, there's a golf course.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. You know, and you would believe how many dove hunters come up here and stay now. These houses and facilities up here right now are just full of dove hunters.
Really?
You know, if I had to guess right now, I know yesterday morning when I came out of Concan heading towards Sabinal, there was probably 4 convoys of trucks, anywhere from 4 to 6 to, there was one that was probably had 12 or 13 trucks in it, all heading south to Sabinal.
Dang.
You know, there's a lot of dove hunters up here, and there's a reason. You know, you got Uvalde and Hondo. I kind of call it the corridor between Hondo and Uvalde. You know, if there's no birds here, there ain't no birds anywhere.
Nowhere. So, they're not there. There's not any.
And right now, there's some birds east of Sabinal. There's some birds there around Hondo. I've heard some stuff around Uvalde. North hasn't been very good, but the south side has been okay. And, you know, of course, our stuff has been steady, but it's just fluctuating. You know, it's, after 3 weeks of getting shot at, everything moves up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, I remember hunting up there years back with, you know, Vaughn at his place there in DeHaenis and Hondo, and I couldn't believe all the dove flying through there while we were deer hunting. Just crazy.
Yeah.
You know, man, I didn't know there's that many birds.
Yeah, we've got a new place there in DeHaenis, and it was really good for the first 3 days of the season, and since that, nothing has showed up.
Huh.
It's got its own Milo, and there's a sunflower field almost adjacent to it, and they've just nothing there. You know, and everything's there. There's roost, there's water, there's grain, there's gravel. You know, everything's right there, and there's just no birds there. So, that old migratory word again gets us all the time.
Well, at South Texas, you know, same thing. They got a lot of croton this year. You know, that Mexican goat weed.
Oh, we got tons of it. You know, we've cleaning some doves the other day, and some of them had like stale looking Milo in them.
Yeah.
And then a lot of that croton, the little black seeds, and then of course the sesame and some straight up Milo. But a lot of our Milo that got harvested early got wet that second or third day of October when we got that rain. So it turned from seed to weed. The stuff that wasn't on the ground, you know, started mildewing, but there's it.
Does it re-germinate and grow again when it gets wet like that after they cut it?
Ground. Yeah. Well, you know, they usually let it come up, but most of the time it doesn't get a chance to head.
Yeah.
And, you know, because it's usually on non-irrigated ground, so it didn't get the chance to head. They'll bring it up and cut it up and, you know, turn it back into the dirt. And, you know, they're going to start doing that here pretty soon when they get these fields ready for oats coming in October.
Yeah. Without food, there's no animals, no wildlife. You there? Did we lose Crocker? We sure did. Maybe he hit mute on his phone. Because I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it pop or anything. Hang up. We're almost to the break anyway. See if we can get him back that way and get his number out and everything. We'll see how that works. Yeah, that's a tough game to play, what they do. You know, that dove hunting thing. I mean, it's just, they move around so much. I know Blaine fights it I mean, he'll have one ranch. It'll have a million doves on it, and the other two or three ranches, just not even huntable numbers. He's got some, but not. It's just weird how they move around, and those big flocks and waves, and they'll just, you know, you got him back, Crocker. I don't know what happened. It just went.
Yeah. I don't know if you could hear me or not, but I had a really good story that was funny as could be. So,
well, let's hear it. We got about a minute left.
Heck, I don't remember what it was now. Okay. I was just talking away.
Well, I never did hear it pop or hang up, and I said, well, maybe hit his mute button or something. That happens. But.
Yeah, I don't know. I got through talking. I looked down and went, well, are you still there? Hey, Mickey.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Oh, yeah.
The satellites crossed and cut us off.
Yeah, they did. Something happened. Did you see that crescent moon the other morning? Wasn't that cool?
Oh, yeah.
With Venus,
planet.
Yeah, Venus, yeah. Right next to it, lighting up the backside.
Looked like a little smiley face.
Yeah, that was awesome. I saw that driving home.
Really pretty.
I'm going, man, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it's really pretty. But, you know, other than that, you know, dove season going on. We're going to get ready and start up with the deer hunting here pretty quick.
I think won't next be long, weekend, brother. Well, bow season next weekend. Here we go.
Yeah.
Kaboom. So. All right, buddy. Well, hey, throw them out some info. Somebody wants to get with you or Junior on some deer hunts too, dove and deer.
Sure. Check us out at TexasBestDoveHunt.com or CCOTexas.com. And, of course, Christopher's number, he does all the booking, is 512-587-3791.
All
give
right,
us a call.
Brother. Well, Chris.
Man, y'all have a good morning.
One. Hey, enjoy talking to you. See you, man. I'll talk to you next week. Later.
All right.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break, national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to The Outdoor Show. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.